live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and as always, streaming on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. 4476 is the number to jump on in. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. Chris Beard, the men's head basketball coach at Ole Miss with the Rebels, he's going to join us coming up an hour from now at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Ole Miss is dancing into the Sweet 16, where we will see Chris Beard go up against Tom Izzo, a little Ole Miss up against Sparty Party with the Michigan State basketball program. So looking forward to reconnecting with Chris Beard on the show 59 minutes from now. I got to start the show off today talking about the NFL draft. And yesterday, I was doing some food shopping. I had to do a light food shopping order, and I had to get a few things for the dinner that I was making last night before my fantasy baseball draft. And while I'm in the supermarket waiting to check out, I'm perusing Twitter because I'm online, right? Waiting to put the groceries on the belt and then get them scanned and then walk on out of the store. And I see this tweet, and it's a photo of Coach Prime. And the tweet was from Marshall Green of Chat Sports. And it says, Deion Sanders at the ProMat 2025 conference, quote, "We are hoping for New York," close quotes. And then underneath it, it says, "Shador wants to be a Giant with the question mark." So I saw that, and I'm like, You know, no offense to Marshall Green, but let's see if anyone else posts it. And then one after another, after another, after another, after another, it is all over my timeline. So I'm seeing this comment by Coach Prime, our friend of show, Coach Prime. And I saw that Coach Prime is saying that they're hoping for New York. So my immediate take when I heard that was Coach Prime knows that the Browns aren't taking his son. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that it's 100% clear. And I think the Cleveland Browns should take Shador Sanders with the number two overall pick. And I do think the general consensus is that Cam Ward is going number one to Tennessee. But if this was true, and I'll get to it in a second, why it may not be true, and you have Coach Prime at a conference saying we're hoping for New York, that is him issuing the shot of Cleveland, we don't want you. And then also, it could be him saying, we know that Cleveland isn't taking Shador. They're either going with Abdul Carter or they're going with Travis Hunter. So let's start to push the third team available, which would be the Giants, because I think a lot of rational people know Cam Ward's going one. I think the draft really starts at two. Now, maybe Tennessee trades the pick and you have the Giants move up to one. But when I heard this, or I saw it, because there's no audio of this, there's no video of it, and I just read that Coach Prime is saying we're hoping for New York, I really thought one way or another, Coach Prime was either trying to get the Browns not to draft his son, or he kind of got the heads up or the feeling that the first two picks are going to go and Shador Sanders is not going to be taken in the first two picks. And we know the Giants are in desperate need for a quarterback because they have Jameis Winston. They got Tommy DeVito, get the chicken cutlets out. But they're not going to get Aaron Rodgers, and Joe Shane can't afford to go into the season with Jameis Winston as his big grand plan on what is the last make or break year for Joe Shane. So I didn't think much about it after that. I really walked into the office today and I thought to myself, Shador Sanders is going to be a New York football Giant. That's what I thought. I still think that. But then as we're getting ready for the show, Darryl Ryder, who does a great job covering the Cleveland Browns for one of our Odyssey affiliates, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, he put this out from Instagram. Deion Sanders, now, let me just tell you something, Darryl. You should be more respectful to Coach Prime, and you should be a believer. It should be Coach Prime, not Deion Sanders. But from Instagram, his words, not mine, Deion Sanders refutes a rumor posted on X that he said last week at a conference they prefer Shador ended up with the Giants. And this was the comment by my pal Coach Prime. In all caps, this is a lie. Then back to not going all capital letters. We're thankful for whatever God chooses for them. So, I'm not saying this was not said, because I haven't heard it yet. I haven't seen it yet. And just because a coach comes on out and says, oh, I was taken out of context, or this is a lie, I never said that, doesn't mean you didn't say it. But I think the big nugget here from Daryl's tweet is that this conference was last week. Now, are there things that take a while to get out? Yes. But once this post is made, you're telling me, and this blows up at about, I don't know, I was checking out of the supermarket at 6:30 yesterday, 6:45. You're telling me from 6:45 p.m. Eastern time last night, when this thing was really blowing up, to right now as we currently sit here, 6 minutes past 3 o'clock here on the East Coast, that no one could find this video from the conference? You know, what is this, like when you go to the Comedy Cellar and they tell you have to put your phone in a bag and it's, zipped and you have no access to it? Come on. You're at a conference. So if this audio or video exists, I'd be very surprised if it doesn't come to light. And if Coach Prime is on there, and who knows, maybe he was asked a question like, hey, Tennessee, Cleveland, New York, what do you think is the best market for your son? And he can say, oh, I hope maybe the opportunities in New York, the marketing and all the sponsorships, that he goes to New York. That's different than him saying, you know, just talking about Shador's future and basically saying, we're hoping for New York. Because if you just say, oh, we're hoping for New York, that means, or it gives us the impression that you don't want to go to Tennessee and you don't want to go to Cleveland. So I don't know if this was said or not. If you put a gun to my head right now, I'm going to take Coach Prime's word, because I don't think Coach Prime is someone that says something and then runs and hides from it, especially something that is so black and white here. You obviously said it or you didn't. You were at this conference. We know you were speaking at this conference. You were the keynote speaker. Fact, fact, fact. Did you say this? Did you say, we're hoping for New York? Now, let's advance the conversation, because I don't have a damn clue what he said or what he didn't say. I'm going to take, though, our friend Coach Prime's word and say that he didn't say it. And if we're proven to be wrong here, then so be it. 1, 2, and 3 in the draft. How is this going to go? Let's just go around the room real quickly. First pick of the draft. I think Tennessee is taking Cam Ward. Stu, what do you think's happening here?
Cam Ward.
To Tennessee?
Yes.
Samter?
Agreed.
Okay, so we are 3 for 3. Cam Ward to Tennessee. At this rate, I would be not shocked, but I would be mildly surprised, and it would be unexpected for me if you see the Giants move up from 3 to 1. If there's going to be a trade, I don't think it's Cleveland moving up from 2 to 1. I think it's the Giants moving up from 3 to 1. But I feel like with the lack of return, Cam Ward, and I'm not a big pro day guy, but he had a stellar pro day from what everyone said. I get the feeling that Mike Borgonzi, and it's just a gut feeling, no inside information, no sources, it's just the way that I feel about this a month from the draft, that Tennessee's taking Cam Ward number one. So now here is where the fun starts. Samter, second overall pick. The Cleveland Browns, who do you think they're taking?
I'm not saying Shador. They're not taking Shador.
Okay, so then you have Abdul Carter, you have Travis Hunter.
I think they're going to go Travis Hunter. God, it would be so fun to see Abdul Carter and Myles Garrett together, but you have Garrett. You just paid him. I'm going to say Travis Hunter.
Okay. Stu, who do you think they're taking?
I think it's between Carter and Hunter. I think they go Carter to pair up with Garrett.
So I have flip-flopped on this 9,000 times. So I will do it 9,001 times here. Let me be abundantly clear. Cleveland, take Shador Sanders. They should take Shador Sanders. I don't think they will, though. And I was like Mike at first. okay, they just paid Myles Garrett. They'll take Travis Hunter. And you could pair him up with Denzel Ward, and then you could also run him 20 plays a game or whatever at wide receiver for whoever your quarterback's going to be. I think they're taking Abdul Carter now. I do. I think they're pairing up Abdul Carter and Myles Garrett, and they'll have a great 1-2 punch at the pass rusher position. So I think the first two picks of the draft, and this pains me because I really wanted Abdul Carter on the Patriots, but I do believe that with the first overall pick, Tennessee's taking Cam Ward, and then with the second overall pick, you will then see Abdul Carter go to the Cleveland Browns. Now, here's the question. Third pick in the draft. So in Samter's example, you could have Abdul Carter or Shedeur Sanders. In Stu and I's example, you could have Travis Hunter or Shedeur Sanders. Stu, the New York Football Giants do what?
They will take their quarterback of the future in Shedeur Sanders.
All righty. Samter, and your exercise?
Shedeur.
I'm in agreement, too. I think the Giants are going to find a way to get Shedeur Sanders. And I don't know why Cleveland's going to pass up on a quarterback. You know, I know you could sit there and tell me, oh, Shador's not generational, blah, 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 blah. Like, Cleveland's taking 3,000 quarterbacks. What's the harm in taking another one? And I've been someone that has been saying Abdul Carter's the best player in the draft and then Travis Hunter. So I understand taking the better player, but in this league, you either have the quarterback or not. And you have no chance to succeed in this league if you don't have something at the quarterback position. So could Cleveland say, hey, you know what? We're going to pass on a quarterback this time around. We're admitting we're probably not going to be good this year. We're going to go with God knows who. Kenny Pickett right now would be their QB1. Does Russell Wilson land there? Do they get Kirk Cousins after the draft? Who knows? But if it's Kenny Pickett or if it's Russell Wilson or if it's Kirk Cousins, I don't think Cleveland's going to be any good. So would they want to wait a year from now? And maybe they'll have the number one overall pick and they'll get Arch Manning. But here's the tricky part about that. What did the Manning family once do? Eli was going to be the number one overall pick to the Chargers, and he ended up still being the number one overall pick. But the Manning family said he's not playing there, and they forced their way to the New York Giants. So if you're telling me the Manning family 20-something years ago was willing to do that, why wouldn't the Manning family once again, if Arch plays great at Texas this year, if Arch is in fact the number one quarterback and could be the number one overall pick in the draft, why wouldn't they try to jump through hoops again to now force another Manning to have history repeat itself? That's just a thing that's out there. But I do believe that the Giants, they're the most desperate team in this draft because Joe Shane's job is on the line. Brian Daboll's job is on the line. Last year, they thought they were going to get a quarterback one way or another in the draft, whether it was Jaden Daniels or Drake May. First two picks, Caleb Williams went one. Commanders said, we're taking Jaden Daniels. Patriots said, unless you're making a Godfather offer, we're not trading you the pick. Drake May goes to New England. And then you had the Giants that were SOL. And could they have taken J.J. McCarthy? Yes, they didn't do so. Could they have taken Michael Penix Jr.? Yes, but they didn't do so. Could they have taken Bo Nix? Yes, but they didn't do so. And Bo Nix had a really good season. I don't think Bo Nix would have been wonderful in New York, to be clear. Michael Penix Jr. barely played, and J.J. McCarthy got hurt. But they had a chance to get a quarterback last year. They waited until the draft, and it blew up in their face. And they had to go back to the well with Daniel Jones. Now, they tried for Stafford, swung and missed. They tried for Aaron Rodgers. Yes, signing Jameis Winston doesn't take them out of the market for Aaron Rodgers, but I think it's their admission. It's probably unlikely at this point. And if you sign Jameis Winston, I don't think if you miss out on Rodgers, then you're bringing in Russell Wilson. So the Giants are once again putting all their eggs in the basket of the NFL draft. And you can't afford to miss this time. You can't get to... This would be the biggest nightmare for the Giants in the draft. Cam Ward goes one, Shedeur goes two. And I know you can tell me, oh, well, you got, you know, the first or second best player in the draft, and Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter at three. Doesn't matter. Because you're then going into this season once again without a quarterback, and you have nothing to sell to your fan base of hope. And it's not really wins and losses this year with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. Sure, they can't go 4 or 5 wins once again. But they need to sell their franchise on a player that could bring hope to this organization. And we've seen, right, Malik Nabers bring hope, right? Dexter Lawrence bring hope. But those guys can't bring hope like a quarterback does. If you give a quarterback that brings hope, that's how you could save your job, even if you don't have the most amount of wins this year. And I do feel like when we look at the first three picks of the draft, Cam Ward's going one to Tennessee. Right now, I'm believing today, Abdul Carter goes two to Cleveland. I'm then going to say the Giants get Shedeur Sanders at three. And then you got my team and the Patriots with four. And I could see them taking Will Campbell out of LSU. But at that rate, take Travis Hunter. That's what I would do. That's today how I think the first four picks of the draft, not should go, but will go. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. What do you think Tennessee's going to do with the number one overall pick? What do you think Cleveland's going to do with the number two overall pick? What do you think the New York Football Giants are going to do with the third overall pick? And should the Giants take Shedeur Sanders? Should the Cleveland Browns take Shedeur Sanders? What do you think will happen with the quarterbacks when it comes to this 2025 NFL draft? We'll take a break. When we come on back, Doc Rivers is basically like Daryl Morey, and that's not a good thing. So we'll come on back with more on the idiotic comments by Doc Rivers. And still to come, Ole Miss men's head basketball coach Chris Beard off to the Sweet 16. They play Michigan State later in the week. He's going to join us live on the show at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time. I always love a headline during the break. And I also love when the headline has nothing to do with sports. Have you thought about the Hawk Tua girl recently, Stu, at all?
It has been many months.
Santer?
I have.
You have? Uh-oh. That sounds a little bit sexual.
No. She has been embroiled in a huge controversy.
So I remember the controversy when it happened. I didn't hear much of it since, and I didn't realize it's been 4 months since that happened. So Barstool just posted, the Hawk Tua girl has finally woken up after a four-month nap, releasing her first post since she went to bed after her Hawk meme coin allegedly rug pulled millions of dollars. So I forgot that Hawk Tua got into a whole controversy with this meme coin stuff. So she hasn't posted in 4 months? You know, it's wild that one night, this girl, drunk, doing an interview, and had a very memorable rant. Spit on that thing, Hawk Tua, right? I'm giving you guys some drops, by the way. And she becomes this, like, icon overnight. This crazy celebrity. And she hasn't made a comment publicly in 4 months. So I guess she's just going to go online and pretend like nothing happened. And now she'll be beloved again. Honestly, I think that the 15 minutes of fame here is way past up. That's what I would think. But with what she was talking about and how she became famous, for guys, that never gets old, right? If you know what I'm saying. So I guess she'll still have a career for whatever the career is of the Hawk Tua girl. You know, I'm probably going to stop my comments there because I don't want to get into any debates or any fights here with the Hawk Tua sycophants. You know, because I'm sure those people, man. Creepers! That's all I'm going to say. So, Doc Rivers made such a stupid comment. They're dumb comments. And then they're the comments that, like, Doc Rivers made. And it reminded me, I think this was the most fired up I've ever been over something that was said. And, oh, my blood is still boiling when Daryl Morey lost the playoff series when he's with the Rockets. I've said this for years. Daryl Morey is one of the most overrated executives we have in sports. He's not bad. He's good. But people talk about him like he's Red Auerbach and he's won like 9,000 championships. The guy's never won a championship. All right? So this idea that Daryl Morey is God's gift is insufferable. And I know our old boss, Spike Eskin, loves him because Daryl Morey always goes on his podcast. And I would always tell Spike, I go, there's one tweet. I know you like the guy, but I can't get it out of my mind. And I've always said that Daryl Morey, when you celebrate losing, that's when I'm out on you. So they lost the playoff series. He could say which one to the Golden State Warriors. And he put out this horrendous, and I mean horrendous tweet that made me scream, made me basically like punch air, and I was just furious over this. So this was back to 2019. That's when I was hosting the weekend overnights. And he just put out versus the Warriors the last 3 years in the playoffs. Houston, the team he was running, 5-8. Rest of the NBA, 5-34. Clippers 2-4. Pelicans 1-4. Spurs 1-8. Cavs 1-8. Jazz 0-4. Blazers 0-6. So he's basically saying we're going to justify losing by saying, oh, all the other NBA teams, when they go up against the Warriors, they're 5-34. At least we're 5-8. But what does that mean? You either win a series or you don't, right? You either win or you lose. And if you lose, I don't want to hear, oh, well, if we did this and this differently, we could have won. Or, oh, you know what? We lost, but it's not as pathetic and as bad and as embarrassing as other teams are. Because Daryl Morey made those losses even more pathetic and more embarrassing when he tried to justify the losing and basically saying our below 500 record is something that should be celebrated pretty much. So that's always in my mind. And I like Doc Rivers. I used to like Doc Rivers when he was in Boston, right, with the big three. That was a team that I just really loved because I was a huge KG fan as a kid. You know, I always loved Paul Pierce. I love the three-point abilities of Ray Allen. When those guys formed together, I was, not that I'm a Celtics fan, but I was rooting for that trio, and Doc Rivers was the coach. Since then, though, Doc Rivers, it's not always his fault when his teams lose. I will acknowledge that. Like, there have been situations where he has asked players to be more committed, and those players have been lazy stars. And I think Doc's heart was in the right place, and what he was asking for is fair. But when you're asking a player to do more and they don't want to, then they're going to turn on you. So I do give Doc a little grace there. But Doc Rivers, you could win a championship and you could still be viewed as an overrated coach. Because Doc has three times in his career has blown 3-1 leads. He has not won a championship since then. And he's had some good teams with some talented players. So Doc Rivers, in all likelihood, will probably be in the Hall of Fame one day because the standards to make the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame are not crazy. They're not tough. It's not like Major League Baseball. It's not like Canton, Ohio with the NFL. There's a lot of guys out in the Basketball Hall of Fame that have no business of being there. And when you're top 10 in wins and you have a NBA championship, you're going to make the Hall of Fame. I think Doc, though, is a good coach. I don't think he's a very good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. But Doc Rivers, when doing an interview the other day, he said to Mark Spears one of the most idiotic and stupid things that Doc Rivers could say. And I know they're looking back at his career, and the 3-1 leads are coming up that he's blown in the postseason. I think you just have to own them. No one's talking about Doc Rivers right now. Last year, right, when he took over the job, people were talking about him. Oh, how do you commit all that money? Blah, 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 blah. The years, all that stuff. People were talking about Doc Rivers. Like, unfortunately, it feels like now the only time we talk about the Milwaukee Bucks is when there's an article out there about a potential trade or Giannis Antetokounmpo wanting out. Like, the Bucks are a good team. You know, they have tried with Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard. They won a championship, right? They even made a move at the deadline, and they finally got rid of Middleton. But I don't feel good about the Bucks going back to the NBA Finals this year and winning it all. They have a chance. I don't think it's a very good chance. So no one's really talking about Doc nationally right now until he said to Mark J. Spears, no one tells a real story, and I'm fine with that. It's unfair in some ways. I don't get enough credit for getting the 3 wins. I get credit for losing. I always say, what if we had lost to Houston in 6? No one cares. That was what Doc Rivers said on blown 3-1 series leads. Now, what's that NBA account? NBA, how do you say that?
Sentel,
thank you. So I saw this on the NBA Sentel account. And you know how there's a fake one, a Fugazi one? I saw that, and usually I would click on it, and you see, oh, it's the fake one. I just assumed it was the fake one. And then I heard Bill Ryder losing his mind about it this morning. vintage Bill Ryder rant. Way to go, Billy. And I heard Bill Ryder losing his mind, and I'm like, wait, Bill is the most plugged-in NBA guy that we have here at the network. I'm listening to it, and I'm saying to myself, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, 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 because I'm thinking Billy got duped. I am. I go, no way Bill Ryder, right? He's too good of an NBA guy. Like, he got LeBron fighting him publicly on Twitter. Chris Paul can't stay. I go, there's no way Bill is going to be so opinionated about something because Bill is a traditional journalist. Like, I have journalistic integrity, but I don't view me as a journalist. I view myself as a talk show host first. Now, Bill's a very good talk show host, but Bill, to me, his roots are in journalism. So I would be very shocked if Bill got duped, but we all got duped. And then I realized, me thinking that this was a fake account, no, it was actually the real account. And that's what Doc Rivers said. Doc just don't get it. He just doesn't. And that's the bottom line. And when he prefaces it by saying, no one tells a real story and I'm fine with that, that's him basically saying, oh, I don't really care what's being said about me. But then you follow it up by saying, it's unfair in some ways. I don't get enough credit for getting the 3 wins. I get credit for losing. I always say, what if we've lost to Houston in 6? No one cares. Are you kidding me? Could you imagine? And I know Joe Torre has won a lot more championships than Doc. But can you imagine when the New York Yankees, back in 2004, blew a 3-0 lead to the Boston Red Sox? Can you imagine if Joe Torre came out after Game 7 and said, you know what? People don't give me enough credit. You know, at least we got 3 victories. What do the 3 victories mean? They mean jack bleep if you don't get the 4th one. Like, Doc Rivers, you are tone deaf. Doc Rivers, you don't have a damn clue about the perception about you. And you come off here as an excuse maker, and no one's talking about the 3-1 leads that you've blown several times in your career right now. And in this article, you're telling everyone, oh, it's unfair, and I don't get enough credit for the 3 victories? Are you bleeping kidding me? No one gives a flying bleep if you win in a best-of-7 series 3 games. No one cares if you overachieve, if you're thought to be a title contender or not. If you're up 3-1 in a series, you have to finish it. Now, I don't hear Sidney Crosby or Alexander Ovechkin, when they blew 3-1 series leads to the Rangers, saying, you know, no one gives us credit that we got 3 victories, but we weren't able to get the next one. And it's like, what participation bullcrap society do we live in? And you know what? Like, I know Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers worked together once. They kind of deserve one another. Because Daryl Morey did the same crap when he was with the Rockets. Oh, we got 5 wins up against the Warriors. What'd you actually win, though? Oh, the rest of the league in the playoffs only have 5 wins up against... doesn't matter. Don't justify losing. The dumbest thing an executive or a coach can do when they don't win a series in the present or when they're talking about it in the future and when they're looking back at their history is justify losing. When you lose, you say you lost. We could have been better. We let this one slip away. We choked. We gagged it away. It's unacceptable. Don't sit there and tell me, oh, but I should get more credit because I got up 3-1 in the series. But then when I had chances in games 5, 6, and 7, 3 chances to get the job done, I couldn't find a way to get 1 lousy win. Nonsense. Baloney. That is insufferable, and I mean absolutely insufferable bullcrap from Doc Rivers. All right, it is Zach Yelp Show on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll come on back. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with audio. After this sports flash, also still to come, Chris Beard is going to join us at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time today. But first, with the latest Infinity Sports Network sports flash, here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. This week's player is Michigan State guard Trey Holloman. In Sunday's 71-63 win over New Mexico, Holloman had 3 steals and a block. Michigan State as a team had 6 steals and 7 blocks. Samter, you're going to be very annoyed with me today. Very annoyed with me. So I saw that you weren't thrilled that I brought up 2004 with the ALCS. I saw you gave me some like hand gesture when I did that in the last segment.
It's been 21 years. Why do you have to stand like just turn that
outside
needle.
Of the Atlanta Falcons? I think it's the biggest choke job in the history of sports in an individual series or an individual game.
It's bigger than the Falcons.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's a great question because 28-3 late in a third quarter in a Super Bowl, you just got to hold on for one game. Now, the Yankees, they couldn't find a way in game 4, game 5, game 6, or game 7. So maybe you're right because you had 4 chances to do so.
And the surrounding circumstances, it's your biggest rival, the Red Sox, okay, who hadn't won a World Series in 86 years.
Yeah.
You had the curse of the Bambino because they treated Babe Ruth to your team.
Yeah.
There
they were your
biatch
for a while.
Yeah, there was more to it than just blowing a 3-0 lead.
Would you have dumped that if I said that?
No.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. It was more of a funny look at you.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know if I could say that or not. Yeah. I know if Bellotti was here, he would have dumped that. He would have dumped that in a second. But what I'm about to say to you, you thought you were mad when I brought that up. I got a call from Sully today. Now you're really going to be mad at me. I am going to Las Vegas. The Cinco de Mayo that weekend, I have a buddy's bachelor party in Las Vegas.
So like in June?
Well, it's Cinco de Mayo.
I know, it's a bad joke.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you have dad humor. Now, by the way, Santa's already annoyed at me because his baby girl's running around the house last night. He's editing stuff for the show saying, Uncle Zach, Uncle Zach, Uncle Zach. And then Santa's like, what about Dada? And she's like, Uncle Zach. So Santa goes, I hate you last night. But anyway, Sully calls me today. He goes, because I asked them, I go, I need help getting a reservation at Piero's. We have a group of 16. So Sully calls me, he goes, got you the private room at Piero's, dinner, Saturday night, Cinco de Mayo weekend at Piero's. And that's one of the best restaurants in the country, as you know, Samter. So
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. The only reason Samter may not remember it is because he had so many drinks that night. He walked out of there, he couldn't see straight.
You go to a nice Italian restaurant, you got to drink some scotch.
Yeah. So Santa pulled a move at that restaurant. Did it with Stuart in a private room. Like the whole network was supposed to go. Amy bailed, James Boccioni bailed. I think Maggie got sick. Every time we go away, Maggie gets sick. So it ends up just being, you know, Mayor Nick and his wife bailed too. It ended up just being myself. We're supposed to have like a ton of people. I think the reservation was like 12 or 13 people. Ended up being Perloff, EJ, myself, Samter, and that was it, right? And then Sully.
Yeah.
And then the owner of the restaurant, who's a friend of Sully Evans, sat with us. So we had this whole private room. It was only 5 or 6 of us. And they basically gave us the entire restaurant, like everything that's on the menu. But a drink comes out, and I guess Samter didn't like his drink. And remember, first drink of the night, didn't love the drink. We had this big reservation, half the reservation bailed. We're in this private room, Super Bowl week, right? Big week, cash cow week. And Samter goes, I'm actually going to send the drink back. And the whole night, Sully and myself and Perloff, anytime Samter took a drink, said, you're going to send that one back too? So we just kept on just having fun at the expense of Moist Mike. But as John Gruden would say, Samter's feeling nicey. He's feeling nicey that night. All righty, let's get to a little news brief. Let's hit it.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Big word here, confounded. Usually you don't see that on a slug sheet for a cut that we're about to play, but I guess Ian Rappaport is confounded by Shador Sanders' draft stock. This is on the Pat McAfee show.
My guess is we get 3 in the top 15.
Mm.
Where Shador Sanders goes is the biggest draft question mark that I could remember in a very, very long time, because he is for sure talented. He has put two programs on his actual back and led them back to national prominence. I mean, he is a rock star, but it's not a slam dunk number one overall selection. Like, could Shedeur Sanders go 2 to Cleveland? Possible. 3 mm-hmm. to the Giants? Possible. Could I see him going past the top 10? I could see that too. Like, it is absolutely fascinating. And a month out now, I have absolutely no idea.
So I think it's safe to say you could have absolutely no idea. But falling out of the top 10? So I think Cam Ward's going 1. Right now, as I told you a little bit earlier, my gut tells me Cleveland passes on a quarterback, even though that, I think that's a mistake. Are the Giants passing on Shedeur at 3? That I would be really shocked by. But even if they do, all right, New England doesn't need a quarterback. Jacksonville's not taking a quarterback. How would the Raiders or Jets justify passing on Shedeur Sanders? Or how would the Saints justify passing on Shedeur Sanders? You know, and Chicago wouldn't. Carolina wouldn't. But I just gave you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams that could take Shedeur. One of those 5 teams need to take him in the top 10. I still think he's going 3 to the New York Giants. So there's a lot out there with Kevin Willard. I saw he's supposed to be on a radio show in D.C. today on 106.7 The Fan. He's supposed to go on at 9:40 a.m. Eastern, The Junkies, which is a famous radio show. And I guess he didn't show up for it or didn't call in for it. So then later in the day, he was on The Team, which is another station in D.C., which is both owned by Odyssey. And he was on the Kevin Sheehan show. And this is Kevin Willard when he was asked if he is staying at Maryland.
Are you staying?
As of right now, I'm staying, Kev, yes.
As of right now, but are you going to get the things that, are you comfortable right now saying that you're going to get the things you need and you are going to be at Maryland as the head coach next year and beyond?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a nervous laugh in the beginning. And then he said, as of now, I'm staying. That sounds like 2 things. 1, he's gone. Or 2, Maryland, you better do everything I say or I'll find a way to leave. And whoever gets a Villanova job is fascinating because I've seen Kevin Willard's name speculated. I've seen Mick Cronin's name speculated. Porter Moser's name has been speculated as well. Richard Pitino as well. Those are 4 pretty big names, and we'll see who ends up getting that Villanova job. Here is Amir Khan. This is Aura, right? The manager, McNeese. And we know Will Wade is off to NC State. This is on KFC Radio, Barstool Sports. Amir Khan, are you following Will Wade to NC State?
Next up is NC State, or what? What's the future hold?
Yeah, so I just got home, and I haven't really focused on the future too much. You know, definitely going to take a few weeks to figure out everything, consider all my options, and see where we go from there. You know, I would say the reports were a bit premature, but I'm definitely, you know, open to following Coach Wade. You know, I think, like I said, he was my favorite coach before all of this happened, before I started working at McNeese. So, you know, if I get a chance to continue working for him, I'll definitely consider it. Dream is right now is to, you know, get into coaching. And, you know, I still have a lot more to learn from Coach Wade. And, you know, he's one of the best coaches in college basketball. So, and we already have a close relationship. So I think that would be, you know, sticking with him probably would be, you know, the thing I want to do. But I'm going to, you know, consider everything and, you know, just talk about it with my family and figure it out.
That's amazing. Now, I understand he's one of the biggest stories of the NCAA tournament so far. But now we're on Amir Khan watch. And what the heck is he going to do? You know, I know he's not technically in the transfer portal, but he basically is in the transfer portal. That's wild. All for our manager. It's pretty cool. Here was Josh Pastner with us yesterday at 5:20 p.m. Eastern when I asked him if he wanted to coach again.
I love doing TV, but yes, I would love to coach again if it's the right opportunity. You know, I've taken 2 schools to the tournament, have won championships at both schools. I would like to take a third. I'd like to have another opportunity. I love television. So I'm not just going to leave TV just for the heck of it, because as you know, Zach, the opportunities I've had in television are hard to get. But if there was the right opportunity, you know, I would be all in to try to have an opportunity to coach again. If somebody felt I was the right fit for them and I felt they were the right fit for me. So, and I would have, you know, me, cause I'm a positive guy. I think I look at the portal as an opportunity, the NIL in a good way. And I think I'd be really good at it because it's so much now more so than ever. You're just dealing with people.
Yeah.
It's more so than ever a people's business. And yes, and you still got to coach and develop players, but There's other things that I like about it that it can, even with the dealing with the agent, it just streamlines everything. Instead of spending 3-4 years recruiting a high school guy and then chasing him at 15 and under, 16 and under, 17 and under, going to here, going to there, which I loved. I love that. No problem. Now you don't have to do that. You just call the agent and say, hey, do we have a shot? What's it going to be? What's the contract? How much does he want? And you can just streamline recruiting instead of 3 years, basically into 3 weeks. I think it's way more efficient now. Yes, there are some things that are maybe not as good about it, but it's way more efficient and you can streamline a lot of stuff and you can save so much more time than ever before.
And that's the best answer I've heard on coaches dealing with NIL and the transfer portal. I've never heard someone be so positive about it. Now, with that being said, last night I'm sitting there doing my fantasy baseball draft and I get an alert. Josh Pastner's taking the UNLV job. So hours before taking the job, he's on with us discussing his future. And it's so funny because we went long in the interview yesterday. I love having Josh on. He's one of the brightest basketball minds I've ever been around. And he's so good breaking down these games. And I look up and it's 22 past the hour. But when he's saying that, I'm like thinking to myself, well, the last coach we had on that worked for ESPN that was talking about his future openly on this show and then shortly after that took a job was Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen's now the head football coach at UNLV. Josh Pastner, hours before he takes that job, is on with us talking about his future, and now he's going to be the head men's basketball coach at UNLV. And during that answer, like, I bit my tongue because I was about to say it, but I'm like, oh, we got to get to a break. Samter's going to kill me because we're already 22 past the hour. And then if Samter's upset, then Ack's going to be upset. It's going to push the whole thing back. And then boom, look at that. Josh Pastner ends up becoming UNLV. So if you want a job at UNLV, go be an analyst for ESPN, then come on the show, and within hours, you will get a job at UNLV. All righty, we're coming on back. One of the best coaches in the country, Chris Beard, will join us. Ole Miss in the Sweet 16. They go up against Michigan State. Chris Beard next.